Well, what does the Georgia race mean for the Democratic Party as a whole? The party's been soul-searching ever since Democrats lost last year's presidential election. And Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders and the recently elected chairman of the Democratic National Committee, Tom Perez, kicked off a tour this week in traditionally red states called Come Together, Fight Back. Here's Sanders in Louisville, Kentucky last night.
So our job is to take the progressive message out into the world, to go beyond our zone of comfort, to start talking to working people and say, do you really believe, you who voted for Donald Trump, do you really believe that America needs tax breaks for billionaires and cuts in Medicare and Medicaid and education? And I think people will say, no, that's not why I voted for Trump. But we have a lot of work to do.
Here and now, political analyst Jamal Simmons joins us now. He's a Democratic strategist. Hi there, Jamal.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well. Well, first of all, so let's just talk about Georgia here for a second. I mean, it could be an exciting moment for Democrats, but on the other hand, Ossoff raised, what, more than four times the amount of money from his next closest candidate? So, you know, how much excitement should there be?
Democrats should be excited for a couple of reasons. One, I've lived in Georgia and did a lot of work in Georgia. It's really sort of my political home. The district that he came up in is a district where the last Republican who held that seat had about 23-point advantage over the last Democrat. So just getting to 48%, and then you add in the other Democrats who ran, that gets you about 49%, is very good sign, even if he doesn't win, because what it says is we are lifting Democrats' floors up all over the place. And the more time and money and effort we spend to build the Democratic floor and base, that means that statewide, you're going to have a lot more luck.
I mean, the counter reading to that, though, is that, you know, 95% of the, what, $8-plus million that Ossoff raised came from out of state, and he still couldn't get over 50%.
Hey, it doesn't matter where the money comes from. You still got to pay the TV stations don't take credit cards, as my friend Robert Gibbs used to say.
But he still couldn't get over the 50%, even though he had, you know, more than $8 million. That's what I'm saying.
But this is what I'm saying, which is even if I think he can get over 50%, but even if he doesn't get over 50%, it's good for Democrats because it means you're lifting the floor up. And sometimes you don't want to lose. Losing by 23 points, it's better to lose by 2 points than it is to lose by 23 points, because that means you are lifting the floor for all Democrats statewide. In a state like Georgia, where you have a governor's race coming up at some point in 2020, you'll have a presidential race. You want Democrats losing districts by small numbers. I know it sounds counterintuitive to say that's important, but if you look at the statewide totals, it's much better that way.
Okay, so let's take a step back here and talk about the party as a whole. I mean, it's still facing this central problem. I mean, who is making up the Democratic coalition? What's the soul of the party right now?
Well, yeah, and one more thing on the Ossoff. There are 71 to maybe 90 more districts who have better Democratic performance than the district that he ran in. So you could actually see if he's at 48% in that district, Democrats in other places with better numbers should do better. As to whose party it is, I would say the Democratic Party is now a more progressive party than it used to be. I came up in the Clinton era. I was raised by a lot of Clinton strategists. And those of us who were sort of third way, middle of the road, new Democratic kind of raised folks may be a little more uncomfortable with the kind of party that we're seeing. But the truth is, you've got to get Democratic ideological liberal advocates and activists out into the communities and voting so that those of us who are in the center can then make the difference in an election day. But you've got to get that kind of energy from the left.
Okay, so then I'm wondering how this tweet today from President Trump sort of resonates, because he says, his tweet, he said, Dems failed in Kansas and are now failing in Georgia. It is now Hollywood versus Georgia on June 20th. And I'm wondering, I mean, isn't that still a potent message coming from Republicans, coming from President Trump, that isn't necessarily the way Democrats want to define themselves? But that message resonates with working class voters, for example.
It could be potent from someone like Johnny Isaacson or maybe even Mike Pence. I think Donald Trump is a particular person who has his own negatives, and so people may be discounting what it is he says. I mean, look, he told us that a carrier was headed toward North Korea that we found out was in Indonesia. So I'm not sure he has the most credibility when it comes to listening to what the president says.
Oh, well, he may continue to have strong credibility amongst his base, though. But in the last couple
right, and so listen, it's base versus base. And I thought this in the course of the campaign against Hillary Clinton. Donald Trump is very good at advocating and getting his base to move. Democrats have to get better at getting our base to move, and it's a base versus base fight, and you've got to do better as Democrats to win that war.
I'm giving you a 10-second chance here to tell us what you think about Republican Congressman Jason Chaffetz of not running for re-election in Utah.
We know Utah is a state that it's going to be, it's a pretty Republican, reliable Republican red state. So we'll see what happens. I don't expect this to be a pickup opportunity for the Democrats.
Jamal Simmons, Democratic strategist and Here and Now political analyst. Thanks so much.
Thank you.